JC Corcoran Podcast.
Life is brilliant.
What? Was I too early? Oh, sorry. Should I? Do you want to start over or keep going? Okay. Now?
My life is brilliant. Your life's a joke. You're just pathetic. You're always broke. Your homemade Star Trek uniform really ain't impressing me. You're suffering from delusions of adequacy. You're pitiful, it's true. Never had a date that you couldn't inflate. And you smell repulsive too. What a bummer being you. Well, you just can't dance and forget romance. Everybody you know still calls you farty pants, but you always have a job. Well, I mean, as long as you still can work that Slurpee machine. You're pitiful, it's true. You're half undressed, eating chips off your chest, while you're playing Halo 2. No one's classier than you. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. Loser. Play fetch by itself. You still live with your mom when you're 42. Guess you'll never grow a clue. Well, it just sucks to be you.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
This morning, weather girl on Fox 2 with the fake boobs just absolutely cracks me up. She's like a size zero. She looks like she's about 5 feet tall. Looks like she weighs about maybe 100 pounds. And she has these monstrous plastic fake boobs. Oh, my God. Nobody will notice. How you doing, kids? It's Monday, the 18th of October, 2021. You got jconline.com. I would be JC. You would be the listener, and how the hell you doing? All right, so Mike Schultz is going to be releasing some sort of a statement today. I guess originally it might have been an actual news conference, but I guess that's not going to happen. But there is going to be some sort of a statement today. And people have been wildly speculating because all of the insiders, and we talked about this last week, all of the insiders who are supposed to know everything never saw this coming, had no idea that there was some sort of friction between Schultz and the Cardinal organization. Nobody had any idea anything was going on. And then now the story breaks. Everybody gets it at the same time. Everybody's completely shocked. Nobody knew anything about it. And still, here it is, 3-4 days later, and still people have no idea why it happened. But more and more people are speculating, I guess still claiming to be insiders on the whole thing. Let me get my glasses because I got a small little thing here. All right, here it is. According to one reporter, tensions grew between Mozeliak and Schultz around mid-season when the Cardinals were hanging around the 500 mark. Other contributing factors may have included the lack of major moves made at the deadline, the front office's desire to incorporate more analytics on a day-to-day basis, and growing controversy between Schultz and his coaching staff over his leadership tactics and communication. Then there's the Jeff Albert thing, the Cardinals hitting coach. Anyhow, we're supposed to hear something from Mike Schultz today. We'll see if that actually happens. Little programming note, sort of important. I'm having surgery tomorrow afternoon, and so I will be here tomorrow doing the podcast and then off the rest of the week. Sorry about that. Nothing I can really do about it. I'm not going to be in any condition to be trying to talk on the radio for a couple of days. And also, it's general anesthesia, which means they're going to shove the hose down your throat, which is going to fuck up my voice. And trying to talk when you are having to strenuously, you know, just make words come out of your mouth is no fun, and it puts additional stress on your vocal cords, and I don't need that at this time. So we'll do the surgery tomorrow. We'll have a podcast tomorrow, and then we'll be off until the following Monday. Everything should be fine by next Monday, so that's a week away. I have to tell you what happened to me over the weekend. Wow is all I can say. Wow, major capital letters, boldface, exclamation points all over it. So on Thursday, I got the Pfizer booster shot. Now, when I got the first Pfizer shot back in the spring, fine, a little bit of a sore arm, that's it, no problem. A couple of months later, you go in for the shot number two, and I got quite sick. About 36 hours, I really didn't feel well. I was in bed, you know, and it just was like, now, this is, I've heard that this happens to an awful lot of people. Not everybody, but a lot of people. And you just got to wait for it to pass. And sure enough, about 36 hours later, everything was gone. I ran a little bit of a fever and I was just sore and I just felt like crap and didn't even feel like getting out of bed. So that was when I got shot number two. And that probably would have been what, March, April, probably in May is when that happened. So Thursday, I go in for the booster. Thursday afternoon, I get the shot. Friday, about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, I hadn't been feeling well all day on Friday, but in the afternoon when that came, it was like, I feel like I'm sinking fast. It's sort of like when, you know, before all this pandemic shit started, you know, when you would get the flu, you know, and you would be fine. You get up in the morning, you're absolutely fine. Not a care in the world. And then all of a sudden, you'd be sitting there going, what's going on? I don't feel good. And your skin feels clammy. And sometimes you can get the chills and stuff like that. It's that feeling when the onset of the flu, like when you're supposed to take Tamiflu. Apparently the only good Tamiflu does is if you take it like the second you realize, uh-oh, I'm getting sick. I'm getting the flu. Give me the Tamiflu immediately. Otherwise, you're wasting your time and your money on Tamiflu. It's got to be administered immediately. So anyhow, this is the feeling I'm having Friday afternoon, and I can feel myself sinking, and I'm sinking fast. I mean, as of noon Friday, I was starting to not feel so well. By 3 o'clock, I was really not feeling well at all. By 4 o'clock, I was in bed, and I mean face down in bed. Friday afternoon, Friday night, all day Saturday, and about 10 o'clock Saturday night, I started feeling a little bit better. But I am telling you, on a scale of 1 to 10, this was about a 9. I got in bed and I had to keep yelling for more blankets. I had 3 pretty heavy blankets, you know, those microfiber things. And then my daughter came in with one of those really thick blankets that's like an inch and a half thick, and threw that on top of me. And I was still freezing my ass off. Just my teeth were chattering and the chills just absolutely no ability to regulate your body temperature at all. So then I talk about temperature, and I'm usually about a, I guess normal for most people is 98.6. My normal is about 97.9. Well, I was at 99.7 and just shivering like crazy. Just absolutely ridiculous. So I tell you that story just so that if you're going in to get the booster, you're going to get that third shot, you're going to get that booster shot, just be on your toes that you may not be able to do anything for about 36 hours afterwards, because it is, and again, not everybody has this reaction, but I'm telling you, this thing put me face down for 36 hours. So be on your toes, like I said, on that. Oh, and if you're saying to yourself, well, that doesn't, I'm not going to get the booster shot, I don't need that shit. Well, you know, I didn't like having a day and a half of my life wiped out, and I didn't like feeling that sick or cold. And I just can't get over, I can't stress this enough, how cold I was. It's still better than being on a ventilator or being in the hospital. So would I do it again? Abso-fucking-lutely. Absolutely. No question about it. I don't want that shit. I don't need that shit. Are you ready for a pork shortage? That's what they're warning us of. One guy even said there could, there could be, and these are his words, a bacon apocalypse. And then there's the case of Danny DJ Rodriguez, who was arrested after he was identified in a Huffington Post story. He was one of the insurrectionists on January 6th. When the police go pick him up and they start questioning him, he calls himself a piece of shit and says, "I'm so stupid." Well, Danny, yes, you are, but you still deserve jail time. And there was another insurrectionist who was identified, and so he immediately joined the army. I guess he thought that if he did that, they wouldn't come along and prosecute him. And they're like, no, actually, that's not going to work, and you're still being arrested. Plus, now you're in the army. I'm not sure he thought that out very well. We have a big scandal at Hooters. The waitresses have a lot to deal with, like you being drunk off your ass and thinking that you really got a shot at one of the girls. Hooters just changed the shorts its waitresses have to wear and made them even skimpier, which is saying something because the old ones were pretty skimpy to begin with. The new ones are like a thong. A thong, that's underwear. The new ones are like a thong, so most of your butt shows. They have to wear leggings under them, or they might accidentally reveal a little too much. And initially, it was mandatory. They couldn't wear the old shorts anymore, so somebody got their hands on a copy of the memos that Hooters sent to their employees. It basically said if they didn't like the new shorts, they should test drive them for 2 weeks and see if they could get used to them. If not, they had two options. They could ask to be transferred to a, quote, non-image-based position at the restaurant, which means, like, cook, but probably make less money, or they could just quit. Well, there's immediate backlash online from employees who didn't want to wear them. One said she didn't think it was fair because they're not the shorts she agreed to wear when they hired her. And it looks like all the attention on social media worked because Hooters put out a statement yesterday that says they're updating their policy. Staff members now will have the option of wearing the new shorts, or they can keep wearing the old ones that offer more coverage. Been watching football out the wazoo for the last, you know, well, basically the whole weekend, you know. And football gets a bad rap for being dangerous, and it is. Like DeMarco Farr will tell you, it's a violent sport. Football is a violent sport. Now, I don't know that I necessarily agree that you can say that and then just turn and walk away, because there are things that are dangerous. There are things, you know, activities that are of a violent nature, but those things still don't need to be dangerous or life-threatening, even if the threat to your life doesn't come for 20 years down the road. Anyhow, according to a new study, it's not the most dangerous sport. The worst one, and people would say, well, probably something like hockey or race car driving, motorcycling, skiing. Well, researchers at the University of Texas Rio Grande say it's horseback riding. There are more hospital admissions due to horseback riding injuries than any other sport, and they can be serious. chest injuries. Who would have guessed? Chest injuries are the most common, but injuries to the head and the neck can be lethal. Between 2007 and 2016, more than 24,000 people were hospitalized with horseback riding injuries, and 320 of those people died. Well, you know, ask Christopher Reeve. There's number one. I've told you the story a million times about a girl I was dating back in the 80s who her family had a like a little ranch farm type thing out in Eureka or something like that. And the mom was washing the horse. So when you wash a horse, give him a bath, basically, you know, you have that chain goes around their neck or their bridle. I don't know anything about horses. And they stand there and you wash them. You know, it's not any different than when you go to pick up your dog at the groomer and you see that, you know, a dog's getting a haircut or something like that. And they have, you know, the thing attached to the little post and they stand there. But that's a dog. You know, if the dog goes nuts, you've got problems, but your situation isn't going to be life-threatening. If you're doing it to a horse and the horse goes nuts, as was the case with this girl I was dating, her mother is watching the horse freaks out about something, and somehow, I hate to say this on the show, but somehow the mom got caught up between the post and the horse, and the chain got somehow wrapped around her neck, and she was strangled to death. And she was just hanging there, and the horse is standing there. The family comes running out. The horse is just standing there like, what? Too late now. A lot of you will remember Kenny Flack. Ken was from Kirkwood and was a tremendous tennis player. And he, in 1988, went to the Olympics. And I still remember we got a lot of publicity. We made it into USA Today because he was in, I think it was Seoul, South Korea, and didn't like the food. And we were talking to him on the phone periodically. And so he arranged with the Nutrisystem people to send a giant crate of free food to the Olympic athletes in Seoul, South Korea. And there was a picture of Ken standing there with this pallet of food. And it was really cool. Well, just, I don't know, a couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years after he got married to a lovely gal by the name of Sandy. Sandy had a baby. It was Ken and Sandy's first. And one of the things, she was an avid horseback rider. So after she recovered from the delivery of the baby, she kept saying, oh, the thing I just want to do so much, I just want to get back out on the horse. And it's like, well, fine, you know, and they check with the doctor and they say, yeah, it's been a month, whatever. You should be fine to get on a horse. No problem at all. So Ken is sitting in the car with the baby, and the baby's sleeping in the back seat. And Ken is just sitting there watching as his wife is galloping around right in front of him on the other side of one of those, you know, white, you know, horse fences, you know, keep the horse inside. And she's riding along, he's watching, and again, the horse does something goofy and unpredictable, and she gets thrown off the horse, but then the horse falls on top of her. The horse falls on top of her, breaks her leg, breaks her hip. The doctor basically said the only reason she didn't end up in a wheelchair for the rest of her life is because her bones and her hip and all that sort of stuff were still so pliable from having just given birth that the whole thing actually worked in her favor. And she was able to heal and I guess has gone on to live a fairly normal life. The last time I got on a horse, and again, I've known people who have horses, and I just like them when they're on the other side of the fence. They spook me. I don't know. And I just think it's one of those things where you really have to know a lot about horses if you're going to be around them. If you don't know anything about horses and you try to place yourself around them, you're probably going to get hurt. You know, the number of people is, you know, there's videos all over YouTube of some idiot who doesn't know about horses and goes, walks behind a horse and the horse kicks him and they're going to tonk with a speech impediment the rest of their lives. The last time I got on a horse, a gal I was involved with for a couple of years, and again, this is like out near Sullivan or something like that. And her family had a country home out there, and they had horses. She's like, let's go on a trail. I'm like, okay, but I don't know anything about it. Oh, don't worry about it. This is a calm horse, blah, 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 whatever. Get on the horse. I get on the horse. A beautiful fall day, by the way. She gets on her horse. And again, about the only thing I know about horses is from watching Mr. Ed on TV. Oh, and I know, whoa. I know that one. I know, whoa. I get on the horse. horse starts to trot a little bit. We go through some trees, and all of a sudden the horse takes off like 50 miles an hour. I don't know if it was 50. It felt like 50. And the horse is just running like crazy. And I don't even know what I did. I'm like, what the hell did I do to this horse to make him take off like this? And I'm pulling and I'm yelling, whoa, and I'm doing all this stuff. And then the woman I mentioned, you know, who got me on the horse in the first place, she comes galloping up, but this isn't like, this is maybe 2 football field lengths down the trail. She finally catches up. She catches up to us and grabs the bridle and somehow stops the horse. I'm like, what the hell happened? All I was saying. And apparently she could see it from her angle. Apparently the horse, when we went through those trees, disturbed a hornet or bee's nest, and the horse got stung on the ass by these bees or hornets or whatever, and so it just took off. And I do believe that'll be the last horse story you're ever going to get from me, because I don't think I'm ever going to get on one again. I'm getting too old for this shit. And now this.
Welcome to the third race at the Honeymoon Is Over Downs. They're at the gate, and they're off. Jumping out in the lead is Romance and Affection, with Domestic Bliss in close behind. It's Romance and Affection and Domestic Bliss. Here comes Marriage Vows, followed by Immediate Child. Romance and Affection falling off quickly. Mortgaged Up the Ass, overtaking Domestic Bliss. And here comes Nasty Attitude, followed by More Children and Drinking Heavily. Coming down the backstretch, Drinking Heavily, moving out in front of Mortgaged Up the Ass. But coming on strong on the outside is Credit in Shambles. It's Credit in Shambles, followed by I Don't Give a Shit, Nasty Attitude, and Up Yours Keep. Up Yours Keep challenging for second, going into the clubhouse turn. Passing on the rail is I Don't Give a Shit, taking the lead, followed by The F***ing House, You Cook Like Shit, and I F***ed Your Brother. Here they come, spinning out of the turn. I Don't Give a Shit still in front. Up Yours Keep challenging for the lead. Up Yours Keep and I Don't Give a Shit neck and neck. And down the stretch they come. Up Yours Keep is pulling away from I Don't Give a Shit by a length. Coming on strong is I Am Outta Here, and passing the pack is The F***ing House. And at the wire, it's Up Yours Keep, The F***ing House, I Don't Give a Shit, and I Am Out of Here.
I'm sure that hit a little too close to home for some people. A Waffle House waitress in Atlanta facing aggravated assault charges for pulling a gun on a customer who complained that his eggs didn't have cheese. And now there's a pumpkin shortage. Prices going up. Shouldn't affect Halloween, but it might impact the availability of pumpkin or canned pumpkin for Thanksgiving. Experts blaming the shortage on a fungus in some states and poor weather conditions in others. And now there's an artificial Christmas tree shortage. A Christmas tree manufacturer says you should buy your fake tree now, because by Thanksgiving they're going to be harder to find and much more expensive. A realtor in Los Angeles trying to drum up a little attention for his listings. And so he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll take all these beautiful shots of the inside of the homes that I'm trying to sell, but I'm going to put myself in the pictures. And oh, by the way, I'm going to be naked. Ew. It's only a matter of time. Now there's a sensor that men can wear on their manhood that will track the excitement levels down below. It's supposed to help men with ED and other health issues. I will tell you a true story. People think I'm making this up. But like, you know, prior to the 1970s, this is how they would test you for ED. I think that everybody knows in the middle of the night, it is normal for men to get an erection. It's sort of a shame, too, because it happens while you're asleep and you're like, I could have put this to good use. But if you're not awake, not a lot you can do about it. But it happens, and it happens a couple of times a night where, for whatever reason, Mr. Happy just gets up and decides to have a look around. Well, a lot of men would go to a urologist because they thought they had ED, but they really didn't. But there was no way of necessarily knowing for sure. So remember how you used to buy stamps when we were all kids? They would come on a perforated roll. You'd even say, you'd go to the post office, I need a roll of stamps. And they would, you know, pull out how many you want, you know, $20 worth, whatever, and whoosh, pull that thing out. And it was like stamp after stamp after stamp, but it was perforated. You needed one, you just tear one off and stick it on top of your letter. Well, what they told men to do, I am not making this up. What they told men to do is to take a roll of stamps and tightly applying that to Mr. Happy and then go to bed. And when you wake up in the morning, if that perforation had been torn, you didn't really have ED. You just thought you did because you were still able to maintain an erection in the middle of the night. So a lot of it at that point would be psychological. And that's how they would prove it to guys. Now, the big question for me is, you know, stamps are expensive. The next day you're thinking to yourself, honey, we can still use these, but you go ahead and lick them. Good morning, everybody. All right, the Packers-Bears game yesterday, interesting. Aaron Rodgers rushed for a touchdown to seal the victory. He turned to the Chicago fans and yelled, "I've owned you all my fucking life. I still own you. I still own you." And the internet losing it over Cowboys owner Jerry Jones kissing his son on the mouth during the Dallas-New England game. Tonight, you've got Tennessee hosting Buffalo. That's a damn good game. In Major League Baseball action, the Braves beat the Dodgers last night. What do you do when you hate all the teams? You know, it's down to four teams, and I hate them all. The Dodgers are arrogant. You don't want Atlanta because of that stupid, whoa. I don't want to hear that for another week and a half. Everybody hates the Red Sox because they're the Red Sox. And don't even get me started on the Astros. In college football, Tennessee fans got so upset with a bad call during the Tennessee-Ole Miss game, they started throwing stuff on the field. They even hit Mississippi coach Lane Kiffin on the arm with a golf ball. My question, who brings golf balls to a football game? Doesn't that sort of suggest that you're showing up there with the idea of causing trouble? Honey, we're leaving for the game. I'll see. Oh, shit, I forgot my golf balls. Thought you said you were going to a football game. Sean Penn was married to his latest wife for a year, and she wants out. He's 61, Layla, 29. Motley Crue singer Vince Neil performing with his own band on Friday night when he fell off the stage. Broken ribs. All right, we've got Stephen Colbert coming back tonight. Thank God. Casey Musgraves and Congressman Adam Schiff. Around Dave Grohl, Kate Beckinsale, and Coldplay with Selena Gomez showing up on James Corden tonight. And it appears everybody else is in reruns. Why? The run-up to the November sweeps. It's when they take the ratings and set the advertising rates. So a lot of times people will take a week off, a week or two before those ratings start in November. We're only a couple of weeks away. Are we even that? No, it's the 18th, so we're 2 weeks away from the beginning of the November sweeps. And so it's a combination of, okay, I'm going to get my second win here and get ready for, you know, it's going to be a lot of pressure next month. And then also, like, when they have pre-recorded pieces that they do, sometimes they'll do that during the down week. Chuck Berry would have had a birthday today. He was born on this date in 1926. Bristol Palin, still considered a celebrity, 31 today. One of the most gorgeous women on the face of the earth, Frida Pinto, from Slumdog Millionaire, 37. Lindsey Vonn, 37. Jean-Claude Van Damme. We had him in St. Louis. He was funny. 61 today. Martina Navratilova, 65. Pam Dauber from Mork and Mindy, 70 today. She's married to Mark Harmon. Mike Ditka, legend, good football coach, total dick, 82 today. And just as we're getting ready to wrap up here today, we have learned that Colin Powell has passed away. It's a brand new breaking story here. Colin Powell's a good man. I had the opportunity to see him speak at Washington University. My ex-wife was the assistant vice chancellor at WashU, and they have this thing every year called Founders Day, where it's sort of like a cross between homecoming and let's bring in all of the rich people and get more of their money so we can endow the university even further. And they bring in big-time speakers. And one year, they brought in Colin Powell. And I saw that guy walk up to that podium, and he talked for an hour and 10 minutes, didn't have a prompter, had no notes, no index cards, no nothing, just stood there and spoke eloquently and perfectly for an hour and 10 minutes. And then I had to escort him. They put me to work. I had to escort him after the speech down around backstage and through the bowels of the venue. And then we had to get on a freight elevator and go down where his limo was waiting to take him back to the hotel. And this way he didn't have to interact with anybody. But also all of the, and I would say maybe three dozen students at WashU who had volunteered their time got to have a picture with him. So they stood at the front of the freight elevator with Colin Powell in the middle and probably 40 or 50 kids all surrounded around him. A lot of them were kneeling down to get more people in the picture. And they gave me the camera and I took the shot and he started to walk away and said, let's make sure we take another one. Let's get another one. Make sure. And he sort of looked at me like, oh, I would have loved to have you in the military. People don't tell Colin Powell what to do. But he took the picture and then he disappeared down the elevator. And that was the end of that. And now it's the end of him too. Colin Powell dead at the age of, what is it, 82 or 84? I'm not sure. And on that note, we say bye-bye for Monday, the 18th of October, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. Again, I'll be here tomorrow with another podcast and then off the rest of the week. I'm having surgery tomorrow, and I'll try to keep you updated on Facebook and stuff like that. I'm going to be laying flat on my back for at least a couple of days after this surgery, and I'll fill you in on all the rest of these sordid, bloody details later on down the line. We're here other than Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week, Monday through Friday from at 7 a.m. It's absolutely free. We archive all the podcasts. Follow me on Facebook, Showgram with JC Corcoran. Email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Have a great day, everybody. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.